Welcome back to the Pixie Dust Podcast. My name is Annie Fry, and I'm here with my co-host Erica Murphy, who is an earmarked travel agent with Magic Expeditions. You can contact her directly with any questions you have about planning your next Disney World trip or beyond. She does a lot of other things other than just Disney World. You can find her at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, at magicexpeditions.com. Erica, one of the things that I think holds people back sometimes from planning something, especially as intensive as Disney World, are concerns that they might have with accessibility and with potential allergies that somebody in their party might have. And if there's one thing that I have seen Disney do so much better than so many other places is prioritize making sure that their product is accessible to everybody.
And I think kind of going along those lines, too, is not just making sure that it's accessible, but making sure that you don't feel like you are having
like a second class situation.
Exactly. Yeah. You are just another guest with everybody else. They make everybody feel included, no matter what. I think Disney does probably one of the best out of any of the larger theme parks with these kind of...
It's a major priority for them, too. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about three different areas where accessibility issues do kind of come into play. And there may be more than this. And if so, we'd love to hear your experiences of how your accommodations have been met, or maybe other places where you haven't had them met, or experiences you've had at Disney World, because I think that communities like those who need to pay attention to accessibility concerns for a whole variety of reasons, whether it's like some sort of genetic concern that they have, or an allergy concern, or a social type of autism, or whatever it might be that you are individually experiencing in your family. I have seen this up close from personal friends of mine, how much you lean on communities of other families who understand exactly what you're going through because they've lived it. Like I can be kind of a supporter and help pave the way or have the conversations for friends or families that might be experiencing these things. But it's different if you're the one who is having to plan it and having to, because in you know, the allergy issues, it could be a life or death situation that your request is honored and respected. So I'll let you start with the DAS program, Disability Access Services. Is that what it's called? Did I say that right? Talk to me about the service that is provided and how you as a travel agent can help, to the extent that you can help, make sure that a Disney World vacation for a family who might need these services is still absolutely worth it.
Yeah. And I think with going along this lines too of, you know, sometimes there are disabilities that can't be seen. So things like, you know, maybe autism or ADHD. I have a family I work very close with that one of them suffers from PTSD. And so that's something that you necessarily can't tell that somebody is dealing with just by looking at them, you know. And I think that Disney does a really good job of being accessible, again, like I said, to everybody, not just with physical disabilities, but maybe has something that isn't more, you know, like an autism where you can't wait in line for 80 minutes to go see something. They have created this program to where you can have reservations, to where you can go back, to where you don't have to wait in line. So essentially it's like a lightning lane to where, you know, you are still having to wait, you know, maybe an hour or so till your return time, but you're not having to wait in line. You could go get lunch, or you can go, you know, walk around the park to where you're not confined into a small queue with, you know, somebody who may be suffering that you wouldn't be able to see. So the Disability Access Service has actually made some changes this year. So for people that have used it previously, they have gone through some changes in the 2024 year to where in-person registration is no longer available. So before, you could go to guest services and request the DAS service. Now you do have to do it in advance to your trip. So I would say, again, working with an agent, this is something that we could help walk you through. You know, it is a quick video chat that you would go on. The guest that needs the DAS pass does have to be on the video call as well. So if it is a child, you know, you just have to make sure that you're okay with having them on video. But, you know, guest services will walk you through the entire process of gaining this pass. And then it's something that you have done. You have it done before your trip. You checked it off. And it's the peace of mind.
And understanding.
I have, actually, it's a a friend that I used to work with that she planned a trip and she was kind of hesitant to use it. Her son has autism. And, you know, I said, this is exactly what this was created for, because when you are going to Disney, you know, it's not just for him who may be struggling internally, but as a mom, I can only imagine some of the things that you're going through, knowing that your child may be going through this and not being able to help that situation. So Disney has done the work for you and has created this incredible program to where, you know, it's a quick, if they say 30 minutes, I don't even know that it would take that long.
Yeah.
You know, video chat, and then you have the pass and it's there for your trip.
You know, I think another thing to highlight, and I only say this as somebody who is adjacent to a family that has used this service before, and they say this, I can tell that they feel like it's important to explain this, and it's not like you don't have to explain anything, but you do not get to skip lines with the Disability Access Service program. You are not getting something. I think that the element of like feeling like you're using somebody in your family to game the system can cause some people to proudly say, I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, that's not for us. We'll be just fine. When in reality, these systems are set up to really make sure that you enjoy that the circumstances that might make it punitive for line waiting to exist, you will still wait an amount of time, but you just don't have to physically do it standing in a line with somebody who can't handle that.
Yeah.
And I was emphatic, like, just do it. Like, you need to do it. You can choose whether or not you want to implement it at any given time. There are structures and regulations that are put in a place so that you really can't game the system. It's not there for that.
Well, and that's why some of the changes were made this year.
Yeah. And I haven't used it myself, and I'm not going to comment here or there on whether or not I think the changes are good or bad, because I know that people have very strong opinions on it. Mm-hmm. And that's not the point I'm trying to make. What I'm trying to say is, if you think that this is something that would make Disney World doable and enjoyable for everybody in your party, and you know, maybe the person in your family whose disability would be accommodated by this would in some cases be indifferent as to whether or not this were the case, if it makes you enjoy your trip because you can now see yourself committing to a portion of a day, a full day at the parks or whatever. If Disney approves you for it, then it's for you.
Yeah.
It's pretty much that simple.
Yeah.
So have the phone call, have the conversation, and sign up for it, because they do really want to make sure that nobody is prohibited from being able to experience everything that they have to offer, especially for circumstances like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm very fortunate that I do not have to use this for my children either. But as a travel agent, it is something that is very important to me as I help some of these other families navigate it. Because as I'm having the conversations with, you know, the mom or the dad, you know, like you said, there's always something that there's like almost a hesitation when they're like, well, do I really need it? And it's like, you know, this is why it was created, you know, especially if, you know, maybe they're having a challenging day. And, you know, let's be honest. I mean, Disney can be overstimulating for anybody, whether you have, you know, a neurodivergent situation or not. But, you know, you don't know until you get there. So just have the conversation. Have it. If you don't use it, you don't use it. But if you have it, then it's great. And I think that it's incredible that Disney has created this program to kind of give everybody that peace of mind.
Yeah. And there's a lot of respect that's involved for everybody who participates, that they want to make sure that that's the case. I'll shift to the next portion of accessibility that they really do prioritize. And we don't have any food allergies in my family, but I have heard from people who do. And I have read so many anecdotes of people who have serious life-threatening allergies, and it causes them to sometimes be reclusive in the world. And if you, every time you go to make a dining reservation and put it in to the My Disney Experience app, which is where you can make those reservations, or on the Disney World website, it will ask you if you have any food allergies or accommodations that are needed. And they take those very seriously.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, if you think about it, you know, Disney works a lot with Make-A-Wish and in conjunction with that. So they see all kinds of spectrums of, you know, dietary needs and disability requirements. And, you know, they this is what they do every single day. And, you know, again, going back to the not making anybody feel like they're being secluded or having to be taken out. And they'll say it when they get to your table, too. Does anybody have any requirements? Even if you don't put it into the app, they are constantly not necessarily even reminding, but just making sure that they're being overly accommodating for any of those needs. And that's something they do every day.
Yeah. It's very top of mind. When they offer to accommodate it, they mean it. It's not like, oh, I have to say this or whatever. They take it very seriously and they're very good at it. And if you have questions about any particular allergies, too, I'm sure that those you can talk to Erica about that and she can tell you what she knows through all the plans that she's made for other people who might have had similar situations, and also can get answers as well for you and help connect you with information and, again, peace of mind so that you can enjoy the trip. Because if there's an element, I've known people who grew up with really dramatic peanut allergies. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're very serious. And you do live in this constant state of, like, defensive fear.
Yeah.
Because you kind of have to.
Yeah.
And Disney is there, too. They've made a strong commitment to making sure that you don't have to do that. You can trust them.
Yeah.
The last thing that I can really think of that I wanted to mention in this podcast when it comes to accessibility is broad, because there are going to be some people who are wheelchair bound to begin with, and then there are going to be people who might not be able to walk 20,000 steps in a day, which is more people. I mean, it's a challenge, especially if you're doing it back to back to back. But when it comes to being able to get around the parks and to do so in a way that involves using a scooter or like a mobilized vehicle of sorts. My family, when we have gone on trips, my parents have come with us many times, and they're very active people. Like my dad officiates, I think, like 6 high school varsity level sports, and, you know, does varsity level football, does basketball, so on and so forth. But he's in his early 70s, and can he keep up with us? He could. He's had 2 knee replacements and a hip replacement, and he's still doing all this stuff. It's like made him fresh and new to an extent.
Like a robot.
But yeah, exactly. He's the Terminator.
Yeah.
but at some point, if you are going back to back, early days, late nights, whatever it might be, it just becomes exhausting. And when you can take and implement a scooter for someone, you know, I'm going to say somebody who is maybe a senior citizen, that there's going to be a common application there, but there might be a whole, who knows what kind of issues that somebody might be experiencing. I will add in my mom. My dad uses it about 60-65% of the time, and like sometimes he'll get up and want to stretch his legs and walk a little bit, and my mom will want a break. She gardens all day. Mm-hmm. She's very fit and active, but it's nice to be able to sit down for a minute, and to also to have kind of a portable seat. So if you're not riding a ride, you have a place to sit and keep, you know, like the littles can jump on the scooter and ride with them there. At least we do that. I hope that's okay.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever stopped us. But in addition to that, I've gone several times when I was pregnant, and there was one time I went and I was 20 in my 20s of weeks pregnant, and my feet were so swollen, and my mom was like, "Why don't you ride the scooter?" I'm like, "I'm not riding the scooter." She's like, "Ride the scooter." And I did. I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is so much better."
Why did I not do this before?
Yeah. So there's, I mean, I would not have rented one for myself. If it would have just been by myself, I would have taken it easier than I was trying to get, you know, all the kids going along. But with that being said, the implementation to be able to rent a scooter, you don't have to provide your own. It's very affordable, I think, for the service that it provides. But also just an understanding that Disney World across the board, if you do have somebody who is wheelchair bound, they're not going to be hindered in where they can go and what they can access. No. I mean, so many rides even have the mobility modifications to the ride. So if you want to ride, it's a small world. You'll have to wait for the right boat to come by, but there will be a way to get that wheelchair onto the boats, and so many other instances like that where you're not going to not be able to access something because there are stairs and no ramp or anything.
Well, and to that point, I mean, DAS is not for mobility issues. So it is. So if you are wheelchair bound or need a scooter, you know, there's no extra pass or anything that you need, that they just make it to where, you know, you're just like everybody else that can go into the same, you go into the same queue, you go into the same everything. You know, there may be a different boat, like you said, but, you know, everywhere that you go is going to be accommodating for those.
Yeah. The buses, the transportation, all of it. It's very much so set up so that everybody is included.
I remember being a kid with my grandma, like we had her her wheelchair so like tricked out. Like it was like Inspector Gadget.
Yeah.
Like we had
fans,
you know, fans and hooks, umbrellas and hooks for everything. And it was just like, you know, the Swiss Army knife of our Disney trip. And, you know, it was nice having that too, you know, especially if you don't have strollers, you know, just to have that extra place to do that.
The last thing I'll add to the accessibility for like that type of a thing, there are room accommodations that are set up specifically to accommodate the extra space you usually need for something like that.
Yeah. And not only that, I mean, they also have hearing and vision impaired rooms too. So they have the lighting to go if you're hearing impaired, you know, if there's the, you know, the fire alarms or anything like that. So, you know, Disney does go above and beyond with their accommodations for all those. And we can notate those in your room reservations. And the only other thing that I'll say, too, about accommodations is this is, you know, a little vulnerable, but I am a plus size woman. Mm-hmm. And there are millions of blogs and groups and things about people that are hesitant about going to Disney as a plus size person. And I will say that I had those. And it's a little different for me, again, growing up in into Disney because I knew the how accessible they are. But, you know, going into a theme park as a plus size person, you know, you worry, you know, am I going to fit on that ride? Is this belt going to fit? Am I going to be embarrassed and have to do the walk of shame? And, you know, in some of the other theme parks, that is a very valid concern. And Disney above, I say any of the parks, you know, goes above and beyond with the inclusiveness, again, to where you don't necessarily feel like you are being pulled out because you are plus size or a different, you know, a different situation. And so I know, and I've had people that have come to me on the side too as an agent and be like, am I going to be able to ride these rides with my kids? And I'm like, oh my gosh, yes. Like, absolutely. You're not going to have any issues. And again, there's tons of blogs and groups of communities of people. We call them poo-sized.
Poo-sized. That's poo with an H.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll add to that specific point that any of the rides that are maybe, I'm going to say, more thrill-seeking that would have, like, for instance, Tron has, it's kind of complicated. I've ridden it multiple times, but you got to kind of learn how to, when you go on Tron, my recommendation is the first thing you do is kneel down in the seat so that you get your knees where they need to be, and then you lean forward, and then you pull this thing back towards you. It is a little bit complicated and weird. So if you're uncomfortable about the process or the mechanics of it, or if you're worried about fitting in it, and or, you know, maybe you fit in it, but maybe you're not comfortable.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like maybe you have a phobia of like the
or there's some athletes that have like larger calves
size
that,
or you might be 6'5" and you might go, oh, I don't know about this. You can on quite a few of those more challenging rides, there will be, you should ask that there might be some seats that you can sit in that are just outside of the ride. So you, before you even go wait in line for the whole process, you can like test it out and see. And I'll add to Tron. Tron is probably the most restrictive when it comes to size of anything that is there. And that's their new one. And they have carts at the back that are just like regular roller coaster carts that you can ride in. And I've heard of a lot of people who have ridden those both because they did not feel comfortable in the bike, or they rode with their partner who was in the back and they're like, they preferred it in the back. I haven't ridden in that one myself, but the accommodations are there. And you are not going to be the first person who's had the thought about it. So go and enjoy it, and you know, don't restrict yourself out of fear, because Disney has really worked to make so many of these experiences be accommodated for anybody who wants to ride it, no matter the age, the size, or the ability. So that's about it, I think. If you have other thoughts or experiences when it comes to accessibility issues, concerns, or accolades against or for Disney World, we'd love to hear your experiences. That always helps us round out our information when we get to hear new anecdotes from people who have experienced it, or questions. You can reach out to us on the Pixie Dust Podcast Facebook page. Send us a direct message there. It comes directly to Erica and to myself. And another encouragement for you, subscribe here to the Pixie Dust Podcast and email Erica directly if you have any questions at all about booking a trip, about maybe you aren't ready to commit to booking a trip, but you just want to know, like maybe you just kind of started the process, like, I think that this might be fun for myself or my family. Erica is happy to answer all of those questions for you. You can email her at erica@magicexpeditions.com. That's erica@magicexpeditions.com. Erica, E-R-I-K-A. All right, Erica, I think we covered it all.
Yeah. And I think just to add to that too, I mean, some of these questions can be, hesitant and, you know, a little personal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So even if you just want to have the conversation, I mean, I'm safe space, sure. You know, come to our DMs, whatever's slide into our DMs.
Yeah. I can absolutely vouch for that. Your conversation is safe with Erica and myself. So thank you for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast, the Pixie Dust Podcast. Find us on Facebook. And until then, we'll see you real soon. Welcome back to the Pixie Dust Podcast. My name is Annie Fry, and I'm here with my co-host, Erica Murphy, who is an earmarked travel agent with Magic Expeditions. You can contact her directly with any questions you have about planning your next Disney World trip or beyond. She does a lot of other things other than just Disney World. You can find her at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, at magicexpeditions.com. Erica, one of the things that I think holds people back sometimes from planning something, especially as intensive as Disney World, are concerns that they might have with accessibility and with potential allergies that somebody in their party might have. And if there's one thing that I have seen Disney do so much better than so many other places is prioritize making sure that their product is accessible to everybody.
Mm-hmm. And I think kind of going along those lines, too, is not just making sure that it's accessible, but making sure that you don't feel like you are having
like a second class situation.
Exactly. Yeah. You are just another guest with everybody else. They make everybody feel included no matter what. I think Disney does probably one of the best out of any of the larger theme parks with these kind of...
It's a major priority for them, too. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about three different areas where accessibility issues do kind of come into play. And there may be more than this. And if so, we'd love to hear your experiences of how your accommodations have been met, or maybe other places where you haven't had them met, or experiences you've had at Disney World. Because I think that communities like those who need to pay attention to accessibility concerns for a whole variety of reasons, whether it's like some sort of genetic concern that they have, or an allergy concern, or a social type of autism, or whatever it might be that you are individually experiencing in your family. I have seen this up close from personal friends of mine, how much you lean on communities of other families who understand exactly what you're going through because they've lived it. Like, I can be kind of a supporter and help pave the way or have the conversations for friends or families that might be experiencing these things, but it's different if you're the one who is having to plan it and having to, because in you know, the allergy issues, it could be a life or death situation that your request is honored and respected. So I'll let you start with the DAS program, Disability Access Services. Is that what it's called? Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Talk to me about the service that is provided and how you as a travel agent can help, to the extent that you can help, make sure that a Disney World vacation for a family who might need these services is still absolutely worth it.
Yeah. And I think with going along this lines too of, you know, sometimes there are disabilities that can't be seen. So things like, you know, maybe autism or ADHD. I have a family I work very close with that suffers from PTSD. And so that's something that you necessarily can't tell that somebody is dealing with just by looking at them, you know. And I think that Disney does a really good job of being accessible, again, like I said, to everybody, not just with physical disabilities, but maybe has something that isn't more, you know, like an autism, where you can't wait in line for 80 minutes to go see something. They have created this program to where you can have reservations, to where you can go back, to where you don't have to wait in line. So essentially, it's like a lightning lane to where, you know, you are still having to wait, you know, maybe an hour or so till your return time, but you're not having to wait in line. You could go get lunch, or you can go, you know, walk around the park, to where you're not confined into a small queue with, you know, somebody who may be suffering that you wouldn't be able to see. So the Disability Access Service has actually made some changes this year. So for people that have used it previously, they have gone through some changes in the 2024 year, to where in-person registration is no longer available. So before, you could go to guest services and request the DAS service. Now you do have to do it in advance to your trip. So I would say, again, working with an agent, this is something that we could help walk you through. You know, it is a quick video chat that you would go on. The guest that needs the DAS pass does have to be on the video call as well. So if it is a child, you know, you just have to make sure that you're okay with having them on video. But, you know, guest services will walk you through the entire process of gaining this pass. And then it's something that you have done. You have it done before your trip. You checked it off. And it's the peace of mind.
And understanding.
I have, actually, it's a friend that I used to work with, that she planned a trip and she was kind of hesitant to use it. Her son has autism. And, you know, I said, this is exactly what this was created for, because when you are going to Disney, you know, it's not just for him who may be struggling internally, but as a mom, I can only imagine some of the things that you're going through, knowing that your child may be going through this and not being able to help that situation. So Disney has done the work for you and has created this incredible program to where, you know, it's a quick, if they say 30 minutes, I don't even know that it would take that long.
Yeah.
You know, video chat, and then you have the pass and it's there for your trip.
You know, I think another thing to highlight, and I only say this as somebody who is adjacent to a family that has used this service before, and they say this, I can tell that they feel like it's important to explain this, and it's not like you don't have to explain anything, but you do not get to skip lines with the Disability Access Service program. You are not getting something. I think that the element of like feeling like you're using somebody in your family to game the system can cause some people to proudly say, I don't need that. I don't, that's not for us. We'll be just fine. When in reality, these systems are set up to really make sure that you enjoy that the circumstances that might make it punitive for line waiting to exist, you will still wait an amount of time, but you just don't have to physically do it standing in a line with somebody who can't handle that.
Yeah.
And I was emphatic, like, just do it. Like, you need to do it. You can choose whether or not you want to implement it at any given time. There are structures and regulations that are put in a place that you really can't game the system. It's not there for that.
Well, and that's why some of the changes were made this year.
Yeah. And I, you know, I haven't used it myself, and I'm not going to comment here or there on whether or not I think the changes are good or bad, because I know that people have very strong opinions on it. Mm-hmm. And that's not the point I'm trying to make. What I'm trying to say is, if you think that this is something that would make Disney World doable and enjoyable for everybody in your party, and you know, maybe the person in your family whose disability would be accommodated by this would in some cases be indifferent as to whether or not this were the case, if it makes you enjoy your trip because you can now see yourself committing to a portion of a day, a full day at the parks or whatever. If Disney approves you for it, then it's for you.
Yeah.
It's pretty much that simple.
Yeah.
So have the phone call, have the conversation, and sign up for it, because they do really want to make sure that nobody is prohibited from being able to experience everything that they have to offer. Especially for circumstances like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm very fortunate that I do not have to use this for my children either. But as a travel agent, it is something that is very important to me as I help some of these other families navigate it. Because as I'm having the conversations with, you know, the mom or the dad, you know, like you said, there's always something that there's like almost a hesitation when they're like, well, do I really need it? And it's like, you know, this is why it was created, yeah. You know, especially if, you know, maybe they're having a challenging day. And, you know, let's be honest. I mean, Disney can be overstimulating for anybody, whether you have, you know, a neurodivergent situation or not. But, you know, you don't know until you get there. So just have a conversation. Have it. If you don't use it, you don't use it. But if you have it, then it's great. And I think that it's incredible that Disney has created this program to kind of give everybody that peace of mind.
Yeah. And there's a lot of respect that's involved for everybody who participates, that they want to make sure that that's the case. I'll shift to the next portion of accessibility that they really do prioritize. And we don't have any food allergies in my family, but I have heard from people who do. And I have read so many anecdotes of people who have serious life-threatening allergies, and it causes them to sometimes be reclusive in the world. And if you, every time you go to make a dining reservation, and put it in to the My Disney Experience app, which is where you can make those reservations, or on the Disney World website, it will ask you if you have any food allergies or accommodations that are needed. And they take those very seriously.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, if you think about it, you know, Disney works a lot with Make-A-Wish and in conjunction with that. So they see all kinds of spectrums of, you know, dietary needs and disability requirements. And, you know, they this is what they do every single day. And, you know, again, going back to the not making anybody feel like they're being secluded or having to be taken out. And they'll say it when they get to your table, too. Does anybody have any requirements? Even if you don't put it into the app, they are constantly reminding, but just making sure that they're being overly accommodating for any of those needs. And that's something they do every day.
Yeah. It's very top of mind. They're, when they offer to accommodate it, they mean it. It's not like, oh, I have to say this or whatever. They take it very seriously and they're very good at it. And if you have questions about any particular allergies too, I'm sure that those, you can talk to Erica about that and she can tell you what she knows through all the plans that she's made for other people who might have had similar situations, and also can get answers as well for you and help connect you with information and again, peace of mind so that you can enjoy the trip. Because if there's an element, I've known people who grew up with really dramatic peanut allergies. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're very serious, and you do live in this constant state of like defensive fear.
Yeah.
Because you kind of have to.
Yeah.
And Disney is there to, they've made a strong commitment to making sure that you don't have to do that. You can trust them.
Yeah.
The last thing that I can really think of that I wanted to mention in this podcast when it comes to accessibility is broad, because there are going to be some people who are wheelchair bound to begin with. And then there are going to be people who might not be able to walk 20,000 steps in a day, which is more people. I mean, it's a challenge, especially if you're doing it back to back to back. But when it comes to being able to get around the parks and to do so in a way that involves using a scooter or like a mobilized vehicle of sorts, my family, when we have gone on trips, my parents have come with us many times, and they're very active people. Like my dad officiates, I think, like 6 high school varsity level sports, and, you know, does varsity level football, does basketball, so on and so forth. But he's in his early 70s. And can he keep up with us? He could. He's had 2 knee replacements and a hip replacement, and he's still doing all this stuff. It's like made him fresh and new to an extent.
Like a robot.
But yeah, exactly. He's the Terminator.
Yeah.
But at some point, if you are going back to back, early days, late nights, whatever it might be, it just becomes exhausting. And when you can take and implement a scooter for someone, you know, I'm going to say somebody who is maybe a senior citizen, that there's going to be a common application there, but there might be a whole, who knows what kind of issues that somebody might be experiencing. I will add in my mom. My dad uses it about 60-65% of the time. And like sometimes he'll get up and want to stretch his legs and walk a little bit. My mom will want a break. She gardens all day. Mm-hmm. She's very fit and active. But it's nice to be able to sit down for a minute and to also to have kind of a portable seat. So if you're not riding a ride, you have a place to sit and keep, you know, like the littles can jump on the scooter and and ride with them there. At least we do that. I hope that's okay.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever stopped us. But the in addition to that, I've gone several times when I was pregnant. And there was one time I went and I was 20 in my 20s of weeks pregnant and my feet were so swollen. And my mom was like, why don't you ride the scooter? I'm like, I'm not riding the scooter. She's like, ride the scooter. And I did. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so much better.
Why did I not do this before?
Yeah. So there's, I mean, I would not have rented one for myself. If it would have just been by myself, I would have taken it easier than I was trying to get, you know, all the kids going along. But with that being said, the implementation to be able to rent a scooter, you don't have to provide your own. It's very affordable, I think, for the service that it provides. But also just an understanding that Disney World across the board, if you do have somebody who is wheelchair bound, they're not going to be hindered in where they can go and what they can access. I mean, so many rides even have the mobility modifications to the ride. So if you want to ride, it's a small world. There are, you'll have to wait for the right boat to come by, but there will be a way to get that wheelchair onto the boat. And so many other instances like that where you're not going to not be able to access something because there are stairs and no ramp or anything.
Well, and to that point, I mean, DAS is not for mobility issues. So it is, so if you are wheelchair bound or need a scooter, you know, there's no extra pass or anything that you need, that they just make it to where, you know, you're just like everybody else that can go into the same, you go into the same queue, you go into the same everything. You know, there may be a different boat, like you said, but, you know, everywhere that you go is going to be accommodating for those.
Yeah. The buses, the transportation, all of it. It's very much so set up so that everybody is included.
I remember being a kid with my grandma, like we had her her wheelchair so like tricked out. Like it was like Inspector Gadget. Like we had
fans,
you know, fans and hooks, umbrellas and hooks for everything. And it was just like, you know, the Swiss Army knife of our Disney trip. And, you know, it was nice having that too, you know, especially if you don't have strollers, you know, just to have that extra place to do that.
The last thing I'll add to the accessibility for like that type of a thing, there are room accommodations that are set up specifically to accommodate the extra space you usually need for something like that.
Yeah. And not only that, I mean, they also have hearing and vision impaired rooms too. So they have the lighting to go if you're hearing impaired, you know, if there's the, you know, the fire alarms or anything like that. So, you know, Disney does go above and beyond with their accommodations for all those. And we can notate those in your room reservations. And the only other thing that I'll say, too, about accommodations is this is, you know, a little vulnerable, but I am a plus size woman. And there are millions of blogs and groups and things about people that are hesitant about going to Disney as a plus size person. And I will say that I had those. And it's a little different for me, again, growing up in, into Disney because I knew the how accessible they are. But you know, going into a theme park as a plus size person, you know, you worry, you know, am I going to fit on that ride? Is this belt going to fit? Am I going to be embarrassed and have to do the walk of shame? And, you know, in some of the other theme parks, that is a very valid concern. And Disney above, I say any of the parks, you know, goes above and beyond with the inclusiveness, again, to where you don't necessarily feel like you are being pulled out because you are plus size or a different, you know, a different situation. And so I know, and I've had people that have come to me on the side too as an agent and be like, am I going to be able to ride these rides with my kids? And I'm like, oh my gosh, yes. Like, absolutely. You're not going to have any issues. And again, there's tons of blogs and groups of communities of people. They, we call them poo-sized.
Poo-sized. That's poo with an H.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll add to that specific point that any of the rides that are maybe, I'm going to say more thrill seeking, that would have, like, for instance, Tron has, it's kind of complicated. I've ridden it multiple times, but you got to kind of learn how to, when you go on Tron, my recommendation is the first thing you do is kneel down in the seat so that you get your knees where they need to be. And then you lean forward and then you pull this thing back towards you. It is a little bit complicated and weird. So if you're uncomfortable about the process or the mechanics of it, or if you're worried about fitting in it, and or, you know, maybe you fit in it, but maybe you're not comfortable.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like maybe you have a phobia of like the like,
or there's some athletes that have like larger calves
size
that,
or you might be 6'5" and you might go, I don't know about this. You can, on quite a few of those more challenging rides, there will be you should ask that there might be some seats that you can sit in that are just outside of the ride. So you, before you even go wait in line for the whole process, you can like test it out and see. And I'll add to Tron. Tron is probably the most restrictive when it comes to size of anything that is there. And that's their new one. And they have carts at the back that are just like regular roller coaster carts that you can ride in. And I've heard of a lot of people who have ridden those both because they did not feel comfortable in the bike or they rode with their partner who was in the back and they're like, they preferred it in the back. Yeah. I haven't ridden in that one myself, but the accommodations are there. And you are not going to be the first person who's had the thought about it. So go and enjoy it. And, you know, don't restrict yourself out of fear because Disney has really worked to make so many of these experiences be accommodated for anybody who wants to ride it, no matter the age, the size or the ability. So. Yeah. That's about it, I think. If you have other thoughts or experiences when it comes to accessibility issues, concerns, or accolades against or for Disney World, we'd love to hear your experiences. That always helps us round out our information when we get to hear new anecdotes from people who have experienced it or questions. You can reach out to us on the Pixie Dust Podcast Facebook page. Send us a direct message there. It comes directly to Erica and to myself. And another encouragement for you, subscribe here to the Pixie Dust Podcast and email Erica directly if you have any questions at all about booking a trip, about maybe you aren't ready to commit to booking a trip, but you just want to know, like maybe you just kind of started the process, like I think that this might be fun for myself or my family. Erica is happy to answer all of those questions for you. You can email her at erica@magicexpeditions.com. That's erica@magicexpeditions.com. Erica, E-R-I-K-A. All right, Erica, I think we covered it all.
Yeah. And I think just to add to that, too, I mean, some of these questions can be, you know, hesitant and, you know, a little personal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So even if you just want to have the conversation, I mean, I'm safe space, you know, come to our DMs, whatever's slide into our DMs.
Yeah. I can absolutely vouch for that. Your conversation is safe with Erica and myself. So thank you for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast, the Pixie Dust Podcast. Find us on Facebook. And until then, we'll see you real soon.